Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
The medicine isn't working.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The number of people taking antidepressants worldwide has got to be astounding. In this country alone, it's estimated that 227 million prescriptions were written during 2006. Well, now a new study shows many of these drugs don't significantly improve things for most patients. A team of researchers from the U.S., Britain, and Canada have found drugs like Prozac work no better than a placebo. Not surprisingly, two of the drug companies concerned have dismissed these findings, as Stephen Beard reports from London.
The researchers looked at the four most widely used antidepressants, including Prozac and Paxil. They reviewed data on 47 clinical trials. Some of that data was unpublished. The researchers used freedom of information laws to get access to it. They concluded that in most cases, the drugs had more or less the same effect as placebos. The drugs only proved really beneficial for a small group of severely depressed patients. GlaxoSmithKline, which makes Paxil, and Eli Lilly, which makes Prozac, both rejected the study as insufficient. But a spokesman for Britain's Royal College of Psychiatrists said the message was clear. Drug companies must be compelled to publish all the data from their clinical trials. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street was in a good mood yesterday after dodging a bullet from the subprime crisis. Two top bond insurance companies held on to their AAA credit ratings. We had the Dow jumping 189 to 12,570. The S&P was up 18. The NASDAQ gained 24 points. Asian markets were mixed overnight. Hong Kong was up nearly 2%, but Japan's Nikkei edged lower. Right now in Europe, the major markets are each up by more than 1%. The largest gathering of experts on stem cells will be held today in New York City. It's the third annual Stem Cell Summit. For many attendees, it's all about the investment opportunities, as Jeremy Hobson reports.
The summit's organizer, Robin Young, says the stem cell industry will more than double this year because of a shift in where development money is coming from.
Well, right now, the vast majority of investment in stem cells is coming from the government. However, as these products are used increasingly and successfully by physicians, the private market and the private capital will begin to play a much more important role.
Young predicts the market for stem cell products will grow from $36 million to $8.5 billion in the next 10 years. Much of that, says Dr. Warren Sherman of Columbia University's Medical Center, will be for the treatment of some of the nation's deadliest diseases.
There's going to be a huge opportunity, I believe, especially in terms of treating heart failure.
Not to mention cancer and diabetes. Still, Sherman says investors may want to hold on to their wallets until more studies are done. But he says, as of now, the outlook for the industry looks good. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Who the heck still uses mainframe computers? We've become so accustomed to less expensive network-based computing. But IBM is still very much in the mainframe game. Its new Z10 goes on sale today with a $1 million price tag. The Wall Street Journal reports that IBM has driven competitors from the mainframe market, and it's managed to keep customers in banking, airlines, and government.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. By Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics, Siemens 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America. By LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Time now for Conversations from the Corner Office. This morning we're speaking with the CEO of Idea Lab, Bill Gross. In the 1990s, Idea Lab was a high-flying incubator of internet companies. Then came the dot-com crash. But unlike many of its offspring, Idea Lab has survived, and it's still in the incubating business. Today, the focus is no longer the web, but alternative energy. Marketplace's Kai Rizdal caught up with Bill Gross at Idea Lab's Pasadena headquarters.
This is a question that's as relevant for the early dot-com internet technology work you did and the work you're doing today on alternative energy. How do you choose which ideas to keep and which ones to relegate to the scrap heap?
Well, we definitely have evolved our criteria for selecting companies. A few of the criteria are, is it an important problem? Will it make a difference to the world? Can it be a big business? Is there a large enough market for it? But a very big one for us, actually, is it disruptive and is it something that other people might not do? We feel that one of our specialties, actually, is to do things a little bit against the grain. So when we actually started making an investment in solar energy back in 2000, that was very against the grain. It was not popular like it is today.
I wonder, though, if companies from your first iteration as a more internet-focused organization, companies like eToys and PetSmart are difficult and important challenges that you had to solve.
Those companies exactly have led to the lessons that caused us to make our selective process now. So, for example, eToys was a really great company. They had a wonderful, wonderful service. But fundamentally, the differentiation wasn't that great. The margins were relatively low. And I agree with you, it didn't solve a fundamental world problem.
This company is in very large measure a creation of your personality and your drive to be an entrepreneur. And as the company has changed due to circumstance, I'm wondering whether you personally have become leaner and more humble, perhaps, in your thoughts about what's possible.
Oh, absolutely. I actually think one of the best things that happened to us, I would never wish it the way it did, one of the best things that happened to us was the crash, because it gave us a great deal of humility, caused us to be much more thoughtful about the things that we do. We're much more open and honest about the chances of things succeeding and not so wildly optimistic. I have to admit and confess, I'm still a big optimist, but I think the experiences of the crash have tempered that greatly and taught us a lot.
Bill Gross from the company Idea Lab here in Pasadena, California. Thanks a lot for your time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
For more conversations from the corner office, you can head to our website. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.